time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Jordan hits one high, hits one deep, all the way back and gone. Number 33 on the year for the big man, Air Jordan, gives the Astros a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, we knew he'd get back at it. Jordan Alvarez, as you heard Todd Callis so eloquently say, number 33 for home runs on the year. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes, as always. Guys, the Astros winning 6-3. A lot of different angles here. Certainly impressed with Hunter Brown. Certainly like seeing Yuli at it. But Jordan is really that kind of big story and that big story of hope.
His last five games, Vanessa, Jordan is 7-for-16, two home runs, three doubles. Even better, he's drawn six walks. And yeah, you're playing against insignificant baseball teams like the Angels and the Tigers. Good God, I feel bad for A.J. Hinch being stuck in Detroit.
Yeah, we're going to discuss that, by the way, because I think this is an interesting topic, and certainly we want you guys to call in on this, 713-780-3776. If A.J. Hinch never gets fired, does he go to the Hall of Fame as a manager?
And honestly, is there a possibility that you bring the guy back down the road,
Especially
with little contract situations? But back to Jordan. I mean, if he's hitting like this, and you're getting contributions from Kyle Tucker, and you're getting contributions, shoot, even from Yuli Gurriel last night.
Which then, was welcomed.
No doubt.
You know.
I mean, he's been struggling for a bit, and we've been talking so much about, like, why isn't Trey Mancini in the lineup? Mancini, Linguini, where is it? Well, if all of these things can continue, fantastic. Obviously, again, it's the Tigers. They suck. They are absolute hot garbage to the point where I don't even want to watch the Astros games against them. And I don't even think people in Detroit media, based off of a Chandler Rome tweet, want to watch the Detroit Tigers anymore. Because on Monday, I don't know if you saw this, but apparently there were some Tigers employees in the press box who were asking for the television.
Is this what Chandler tweeted?
He tweeted it out to be changed from the Tigers game to Monday Night Football.
You hate to see it.
I mean, I would love to see it. I would love to have
there's no debate that the NFL is the number one sport in the country anyway. Like, it's incredible to see what a crappy noon game, you know, whatever, Dolphins versus whoever does compared to most other sports. It's actually ridiculous. Look, Jordan was in the conversation for MVP before the All-Star break. After the All-Star break, he had two different hand discomfort situations.
Right.
We heard from Dusty it may be in both hands, then Chandler said it was only in one. We didn't really know what was going on, which the Astros always keep those things close to the vest with injuries. Regardless of what it was, it is nice to see him back in form where he's not only hitting home runs, he's had some good plays in the field too.
Yeah, that's actually true too. You forget about that. He's actually been surprisingly good as an outfielder this season. And when you take a look at the depth, which I know you highlighted yesterday, without Michael Brantley, you need someone to help things out. Another nice piece of news, we did see that Aledmys Diaz is going to be back with the show very, very soon. I believe he has been called up and that Mateevic got sent down. So depth is returning, bats are waking up, and you're getting to a point now, six games ahead of the New York Yankees in the American League, where I wonder what the internal conversation is if you're Dusty Baker. Do you keep riding this thing out? Do you try to be as hot as you possibly can going into the playoffs? Or do you look at some of the guys that you have on your team and start thinking to yourself, how can I give these guys rest? New York's playing well. You're still six games up with 20 games to go. So rest or rust? Do you have a preference?
I'm all rest.
You're all rest?
Yeah, I am. I am the load management millennial right now.
Okay, so this, I'm glad you answered
and
it
And I say
way.
This because, and here's my reasoning. We have not even mentioned Presley and Verlander's names in weeks because this team is so deep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about the fact that their ace has had, not a serious injury, but he has a history of injuries. He's out. I guess he was on the Astros flagship this morning. James Click was and said that they're on track. Ryan Presley, I mean, we're not even talking about that because the Astros seem to have a lot of depth. Now, there are exceptions to that when you look at Michael Brantley's injury and some of the moves that you wanted made at the trade deadline that were not made. So I'm on team rest. Todd Callis had a tweet last night With loss last night by the Mariners, the Astros' magic number to clinch the AL West is down to 8. Magic number to qualify for playoffs is 4. Magic number for top AL seed is 14. So that 14 number is something to keep an eye on. Again, you want the bye, you want the one seed, et cetera, home field advantage. But yeah, I think that you rest some of your guys as much as you can within reason.
I disagree. You got to be hot. And I'm surprised that you said this because
I know it's a failure on the old soul in me.
You're from Indianapolis.
I know.
You watched your cowardly Colts 14-0 rest their starters going into the playoffs, and what happened?
Yeah. I don't necessarily want to talk about it, or else I'm going to vomit my Americano.
They lost.
Yeah, they did.
In case you forgot, the Colts lost that year where they could have gone undefeated. I thought it was one of the most cowardly moves in sports history. I'm a big believer. You catch lightning in a bottle going into the air. And again, you're playing scrub teams right now. Like the Detroit Tigers, how much stock do you put into what they're doing? But I think you keep these guys out there. Is this is what you're getting from Yordan Alvarez? I get it. Like, you got some concerns about whether
or not
he's 100%.
Football's different than baseball, though. And I say that because you only have one football game a week. So I agree with you. But like with baseball, they have so many games that you don't think that they can rest guys. I'm not saying until playoffs, but have them take off a day here and there. That's more of what I'm talking about.
I get what you're saying. Look, this is different, obviously. But at the same time, don't you feel like the team that gets hot the latest in baseball is the one that has the best chance to go in the playoffs? The playoffs are so weird.
That plus health, though. That's the key.
Well, go back a couple of years ago to when the Astros, at the end of the year, I mean, like, they're sub 500. I mean... Did you expect them to go very far in those playoffs? And yet they still did. I don't know. I think that the fact that they had to claw their way into the expanded playoffs just to make sure that they're 100% in, I think that that is something you look at and you say, hey, make sure that these guys continue to get their reps. You can put someone on ice and the next thing you know, especially in this weird postseason where now it's like the NFL
very
playoffs
quick.
Used to be.
Yeah.
Where you're going to have like a round where the Astros are just going to be sitting and watching. It's a couple of days. I don't know. I want these guys as warm as possible going into the postseason.
All right. I brought this up because we were talking about, of course, the Tigers and the fact that they are not very good. They are managed by one A.J. Hinch, who was here in Houston, was very loved, and then, of course, got fired. I don't have to tell you guys that. So it brought up a question that I've had that I've thought about. If A.J. Hinch didn't get fired, and let's say, obviously, he takes that team last year to a World Series and he's able to do that as well. And let's say that he wins another World Series, not just goes to another one, wins another one during his time in Houston. So he's been to 4 at the end of his managerial career in Houston. This is hypothetical. He's won 2 and he's been to 2 others. Is he a Hall of Fame manager?
Oh, yeah, he would be. Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy to me to think about.
I mean, Dusty Baker is probably a Hall of Fame manager.
Definitely.
But he hasn't won a World Series yet.
Right.
So, I mean, you can, if in the Hall.
I think with Dusty, there's a respect. There's a.
But
where
it's baseball.
He played.
They're exclusive.
Played,
they're exclusive.
Yeah,
though.
They are more so than if you saw the last NFL Hall of Fame class, I was
everyone
like,
gets
where
in.
Did this guy play?
NBA, literally everyone gets
right.
in. I mean, shoot, is Kevin Porter Jr. already an NBA Hall of Famer? Probably. Christian Wood.
713.
NBA Hall of Famer. Like, that's all you need to do is just like, hey, can you average 20 points a game for 2 seasons? You're a Hall of Famer. Congratulations. So I think with A.J. Hinch, if you could bring him back, I would. I wonder what happens after this year, because obviously Baker's contract expires. James Click's contract expires. Do you think to yourself, well, the Red Sox brought back Alex Cora. Is A.J. Hinch, of all the guys of the Astros, is he so, I guess, radioactive that you can't bring him back? Because isn't Luno the radioactive guy?
So of the two, I would say absolutely. Of the two, and look, obviously I like Jeff. I think everybody probably knows that. But there were people that said they didn't like his leadership style, people that worked under him, etc. You didn't really hear that about A.J. Hinch. And A.J., I think what helped him too is he did an interview with Rinaldi Verducci. I get my Tom's confused. At the very beginning of everything, and kind of did a mea culpa pretty early, and I think was able to preserve his reputation. I think Astros fans would love to see him back if Dusty were to retire or not return.
Yeah, I think so. There are some people in the Twitch that are actually saying,
they wouldn't want Hinch back.
Oh yeah, yeah. Let me, where is that Twitch comment that said, "Yeah, I do not want him back." But yeah, it's up there somewhere. Anyway, look, with managers, you're always going to have some second guessing. I guess I feel bad for Hinch more than anything. I feel like he is in the midst of a everlasting ASPCA at. You're in the arms of
the angel. Sarah McLaughlin over here. Whoa.
As the Tigers are like getting slowly abused. Yeah. Bam, bam, bam. Like they're, you know, in some sort of third world zoo.
I do hate it for AJ as a person. And I think most people in Houston appreciate what him and that combo of him and Jeff Luhnow were able to do, especially after that rebuild winning a World Series. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. All right, we've talked about the postseason. We've talked about load management. Let's talk a little preseason action. Does it matter more than we thought? That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we talked a little bit about postseason in the last segment. What do we like, rest or rust? Load management. Paul brought up my Indianapolis Colts and some terrible thoughts I
Cowards.
Had and feelings I had for Jim Caldwell.
One of the biggest crimes schooler. Against being competitive in humankind history.
Not that you hated the Colts or anything.
I did, but I mean, and I was
no,
glad
you're
that
right,
they did that.
Objectively speaking.
But I lost so much respect for them. I mean, the Patriots didn't win the Super Bowl against the Giants because they went for being undefeated. You know, like people that act like that, oh, well, if you lose one, then you get it out of the way. It's so dumb. No, every week is different, and either you win or you lose. They have no relation to the other games. Talking about this weird-ass probability things, like get these nerds out
yeah,
of my
get
sports.
Get the stats nerds out. Graham Barfield had an interesting tweet, and this was a conversation that was brought up on some of the national networks about teams that didn't play in the preseason, that didn't play their starters. What got this going was the Rams losing. I mm-hmm. noticed after that, of course, the Super Bowl champions losing and looking really rusty is kind of what got this going. Barfield's tweet, overall teams that rested their starters for the entire preseason are 6-13 straight up and 7-12 against the spread in week one over the last two seasons.
You're seeing it out there. Some of these teams just looked so damn sloppy. Let's talk about Denver. I mean, the Broncos eventually figured things out at the end of that game against Seattle, and they were in the second half moving the ball a lot now, obviously. You know, decisions to kick 64-yard field goals and...
Yeah, there are other factors, but they
fumbles
looked
on the goal line. Right,
right.
But as the game wore on, hey, they shook it off, but... You just bring in Russell Wilson and you don't have him out there at all for the entirety of the preseason. How did we feel about how Aaron Rodgers looked out there with the Packers and his young wide receivers, who I'm sure he wants to murder all of, especially after Christian Watson dropped that wide open touchdown pass down the field? You know, you can make an argument too with San Francisco. Should Trey Lance have been getting more work in all of those games? I know he played for a lot in that game against the Texans.
Well,
but...
and that's what I think ended up getting Jimmy G that new contract.
Yeah.
And had they played him more, would they have known it sooner?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think, and this is my hope, because I hate the preseason as it is. Some people have been commenting on the Twitch line about September baseball, and all hand to God, like I just don't give a damn about September baseball. I don't. It's the preseason to the playoffs. I saw Jeremy Branham last night was tweeting about how he was listening to the Wheelhouse, and he was like, "Whoa, they're giving a spoiler on the Astros game." And I'm like, "Are you serious?
Wait,
like,
you don't? That's
the Astros
possible.
And Tigers.
A spoiler on a live game?
Yeah, yeah. Because he wants to go and watch the
that's
game
not
on
how
the
it
DVR.
Works. Love you, Jeremy, but nope, not a thing.
Well, he said he wants to watch the game on this DVR afterwards. I'm like, dude,
Eve, I don't care if
Tigers.
It's Astros Yankees. That's not a thing where people spoil something live.
Some people do the DVR
you're,
thing.
No,
though.
No. But if you're listening to sports talk radio.
I guess he was hoping to avoid the score.
Oh, by listening to sports talk radio.
Yeah, I guess.
Love
I
you,
guess
Jeremy. So. Weird angle.
I was confused by that last night, and I just told him, like, dude, it's September.
Watch The Little Mermaid or
it's
something.
September against the Tigers. Like, not trying to. And he said, oh, you're gaslighting. I'm like, no, like, just watch the highlights of that game if you heard some of it, because there's no point in going back in time and watching the entirety of a game against the Tigers.
This is a weird, I'm sorry, I know I'm on, but even if it's Astros-Yankee, I don't care. It doesn't.
If it is Astros-Yankees, I actually do disagree.
No, completely disagree, because you're listening to sports talk radio while expecting a sports live sporting event of which the market that you cover, you don't want it to get spoiled?
It's also a home run in the top of the first. It's not like, hey, here's who won. It's
but why are you listening to sports talk radio if you don't want to hear about the sport of which is being covered on that radio?
Great question.
You could listen
solidarity with the wheelhouse.
You
that
could
was
listen
what Jeremy
to
was doing.
You could question. Listen to Def Leppard. You could listen to Chris Long's podcast.
Listen, Jeremy did the right thing, showing solidarity with the wheelhouse. That said, I think it's weird that, and very boomer.
Wait, showing
of him,
solidarity.
You know, he's listening to the wheelhouse.
Okay, whatever.
And listen, I think
not
that,
the wheelhouse. I just don't understand this by Jeremy.
Yeah, nope, I'm putting that
into that.
No, I meant I don't understand.
Sure, you do.
You don't understand how anyone would listen to the wheel.
No, I don't understand how anybody would think a sporting event is not going to be spoiled.
This is a boomer thing, though. So when I was back at the flagship, Rich Lord, who I love. Rich Lord is actually a very nice guy. I think got a lot of guff unfairly from people. Rich was always very nice to me. But Rich also was one of those guys who would wait until the game was done and then watch it on his DVR. And there's a lot of people that go about it that way. Hell, someone got mad at me on YouTube, which is weird because the day after a Texans game had been played, a preseason game, they said, oh, you put the score in the headline. Spoiler alert. And I'm like, are you bleeping kidding me? It is a weird thing. There are some people that like to watch a game after it's already happened. I'll be honest, I can't. Once it's happened live, I can't do it. I get mad at people when they watch a game on the DVR and you're at their house and they rewind the game to watch something else. I'm like, I want to watch live. I need to.
Yeah.
I don't. You like, we can go back in the commercial break. I need to watch live now. I don't
so
like to feel like I'm behind
the game.
Do they
know the score before they rewatch the event or watch the event?
I think they try not to.
Okay. Unacceptable loser mentality. Yeah. You cannot expect in the world of social media to not know the score.
Yeah. Also, Jeremy hopping on Twitter to talk about the game. What if it gets spoiled even more?
Ooh,
more than BK
talking
about sports on his sports radio show.
Okay, sorry. I just don't understand that.
I
was so confused.
I'm glad we talked about that for a second.
But wow. Okay, so.
But anyway, back to the preseason. Look, stop resting your starters. Yeah. If you don't want to look sloppy in week one, stop resting your starters. But I think some teams, Vanessa, now that they've added an extra game to the NFL season where it's 17, I think they're looking at the first couple of games of the season as that. And you know what? I mean, take, for example, the Cincinnati Bengals, where Joe Burrow throws all those interceptions and he's getting pulverized over the course of the game. I think teams are now looking at like the first quarter of the year and they're like, whatever happens, happens. And, you know, in the past, I've seen that work out for New England pretty well, where the first month, September, New England historically has not been very good.
And who was their quarterback?
It's different, obviously.
You know what
now.
I mean? It's like,
it's different now. I'm just saying that there are more and more teams that I think are realizing, okay,
sure,
you overreact in week one. We all do because we're like excited football's back. But they're thinking to themselves, okay, well, the first month of the year is now officially our preseason. All I'm saying is you can maybe get a head start if you have these guys a little less rusty going into the year. But lots of teams are like, hey, we don't want anyone to get hurt. I understand that idea. I understand that logic. But, like, football's football. Injuries happen all the bleeping time. Like, not playing a guy in the preseason or playing a guy in the preseason. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I guess that's the way I look at it. It obviously sucks to have a guy get injured in the preseason, but I'm not going to get mad at a coach about it. I want my team playing 100% week one.
Can I interest you in a tweet from Laramie Tunsil? Sing it.
Laramie Tunsil put out a cryptic tweet yesterday.
He did. It said, thank you, the letter U, for the number four, everything.
Thought he was getting traded
thank
when I saw
you
that.
For everything with a period.
Getting so traded seemed, to the Los Angeles Rams.
It
confirmed.
It seemed very dark. It seemed very like there was possibly something going on. Was he traded?
Maybe,
did he get hurt?
Maybe he was grateful. Maybe he was having a good day. Maybe he was talking to somebody that he wanted to thank, but he didn't at them.
Well, I'm glad that you are saying that because Aaron Wilson of Pro Football Network tweeted,
guy,
who I love, Aaron, sometimes tweets mean nothing at all. Just gratitude by a player for people and things in their life. That is the case with the player people are asking about. That's all. I'm not saying it's copy and paste from an agent, but I do credit Aaron for looking into this, of texting whoever. I actually don't even know if Laramie has an agent. I credit Aaron for being like, hey, what's going on? And tweeting that out, because it did seem very cryptic.
It did.
We're used to rap lyrics with Deshaun Watson.
I was scrolling through Schefter Rapoport's feed looking to see if there was any buzz on the trading for an offensive lineman front
whether it would be potentially the Rams, maybe it's the Cowboys. Although I don't know. I don't know what the Cowboys are going to do right now. We can talk about that.
I don't think Jerry knows what he's going to do. We'll talk about that a little bit in the next segment.
I think, though, that it's a weird thing to put out. Do you ever think like these players are just screwing with us? Because I actually do a lot.
100%.
You just put something out and see how everyone, everyone online reacts to it. I mean, there is some pretty awesome power to that. Just put out something completely cryptic and see what takes place.
And it works every single time.
Delete all mentions that you have with your team. See how everyone responds. Lamar Jackson's been doing a lot of that.
I think Tyler did it.
Yeah, he did. Right. Everyone's doing it.
My irritation comes from when they do that and then they don't understand why we're talking about it. It's like, I think you know what you're doing here. Week two should be fun. There's a couple good matchups. I think Chargers at Chiefs is certainly going to be interesting.
Oh, that's tomorrow night. I can't wait.
Yeah, Bears at Packers simply because of Aaron Rodgers did not look good.
I'm sorry. No, that game's on Sunday Night Football. I can't believe that they are allowing the Bears back on Sunday Night Football. There's no greater terrorist to my anxiety than watching the bleeping Bears on Sunday night. They get their asses kicked every single time they play the Packers on Sunday Night Football.
But they had a fun game against the 49ers.
Yes.
They were in swimming puddles.
Because Trey Lance is terrible. Like, that's the only reason they won that game.
But Aaron Rodgers said, I own you last time.
He does
own them.
So
there's some tension.
But there's no tension. It's like, that in the NFC East, can we please get these bastards off of Sunday Night Football.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, am I wrong?
You're
like,
not,
oh, here we go. We had the Cowboys this past Sunday.
Yeah, the Cowboys, by the way, I think have 4 or 5 more primetime games. So that's going to be fun. Cooper Rush, baby.
I thought they would have more of a pulse in this game, okay? They came out flat, and then, of course, Dak Prescott gets hurt. The Bucs are good. But, my God, can we get... I don't need the Bears in primetime again. What about them is compelling? Wow, there's a bunch of fat people from Chicago that eat bratwursts that watch the game. Like, who cares? Why are they on Sunday Night Football as much as they are? Like, I get it. There's a ton of people that live in Chicago.
Sweet home, great. Chicago.
But, I mean, just like crime is up in Chicago, like, the greatest crime of all is that the Chicago Bears are continuously placed
and foisted on us
in Sunday Night Football. Whoa, what's she going to do? She's going to, like...
Yeah, be careful.
Never mind, I'm not going to say that.
Dolphins at Ravens I think will be interesting because I think both Tua and Lamar have pressure on them for different reasons. But that's one that I'm looking forward to as well. All right, coming up, our 10-minute drill. We are going to go around some of the biggest stories from the NFL. You're going to hear Nathaniel Hackett on that controversial decision. But first, Paul's going to tell you about his friends at BUSR.
BUSR.com/ESPN. That is where you go to sign up. Look, maybe you were listening last week and you heard a bunch of people talking about how, you know, Texas is going to get run out of the building against Alabama. But, you know, there was one voice shining through the darkness that said you should take Texas to cover it plus 20. Who was that? That was me. BUSR.com/ESPN is your place to go. You can double your deposit within the first 24 hours of signing up. You can play roulette. You can play blackjack. You can also make props, put together a crazy prop. You put down $5. Hey, you might be winning $300. One of our guys in the sales department had a nice little offer for the boys of the wheelhouse as far as a prop bet that you, parlay that you could put together. And guess what? Worked out pretty well. Had the person actually put in a little bit more money. That's what you can do again at BUSR.com/ESPN. Once again, double your deposit within the first 24 hours of signing up. Sign up to play today.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Vanessa and Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
All right, here we go. We got the 10-minute drill happening. We are in week 2 officially after Monday night's disastrous game. Disastrous for the Broncos. Good for one Paul Gallant. Here we go. Nathaniel Hackett.
Oh, my God. This guy.
So this was his NFL head coaching debut. I don't want to say hopes were quote-unquote high, but I don't think people expected him to make so many bad decisions. The last one is the one that gets the most attention, deciding to kick the field goal instead of trusting his $250 million quarterback. But there were a lot of mistakes. He did speak yesterday about that decision and admitted he was wrong.
You know, looking back at it, we definitely should have gone for it. Just not, you know, one of those things you look back at it and you say, of course we should go for it. We missed the field goal. But in that situation, we had a plan. I mean, we had a plan. We knew that the 46 was the mark. We were third and 15, I think, third and 13. I'm more upset about that play before it to lose yards, to be able to, you know, getting that there would have definitely been better to be able to call that same play and get extra yards. But he dumps it out to Javonte. Javonte makes a move, goes a lot farther than I think we had anticipated. We were expecting to go for it on fourth down. And then you hit the mark, you know, the mark that we had all set before we started. We said 46 yards. 46-yard line was where we wanted to be, and we got there. So we had to make the decision if we wanted to give it to, you know, Brandon, and we did. And it didn't work. It sucks, but hey, that's part of it.
So he's still kind of trying to explain himself.
He is. Can you second guess yourself this early in your career as a head coach? It's been one game. Honestly, you could be accountable, hold yourself accountable with your players privately, but imagine if you're Broncos ownership right now, who, by the way, did not hire him. How are you feeling hearing this guy second-guess himself after the first critical decision of his coaching career?
Right.
And he's on a coaching staff that features a lot of young coaches that don't have a whole lot of experience. There's no, like, Mike Munchak, who I think was on the Broncos coaching
right.
staff. You know, there's no one for him to really turn
well,
to.
Well, but remember, Russell Wilson's going to collaborate. It's going to be
yeah,
a partnership.
You're right. My bad. I forgot about that. It's a partnership. Russell Wilson's actually running the show here. Man, you hear that from Hackett. I'm just feeling very skeptical that he's going to be able to make this team a legitimate contender in the AFC West. And I am all for someone owning their mistakes. But this is a mistake that you own privately. I think forwardly, you have to say, like, hey, yeah,
we
I still
it.
Got this.
Yeah.
And even then, too, with your players, I think someone like Lovie Smith, say Lovie Smith privately said, like, we should have gone for it to his players. I think that his players would have really appreciated that. I also would have think that they wouldn't like be questioning his leadership right away. If you're a player and you hear that he's saying this publicly or privately, that they should have done this differently after the first game, can you buy into this guy?
Right.
I don't know. I
he doesn't have a track record. I mean, he does,
none.
As a head coach, this is his first go-round.
Except
he did
for,
say that this decision was 100% all on him.
You know, it's a combination of a lot of people, and it, in the end, it lies on me. I made that decision, and that was our plan. That's what we said. That's the yard we had to get to. We all knew it. That's what we said in the huddle before we did it, and we got there. We made that decision.
Yeah.
Nathaniel Hackett does have a bit of a track record, though, if you go back a couple years when he was offensive coordinator.
I mean, as a head coach.
I know, but don't you feel like sometimes, even if Matt LaFleur is the one who's making that call, I mean, they had the chance against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to go for it, and they kick a field goal. They give the ball back to Tom Brady at the end of a playoff game. Like, what are they thinking? I don't know. Hackett seems to be a conservative offensive mind. And when you got a Russell Wilson, man, that is not a good sign to start off. Do you think there's a chance he gets fired at the end of this year? Because I do. If there's a
new ownership
group.
I mean, if Russell complains privately, but one thing that you know is that Russell Wilson will publicly support him, even if behind the scenes he's maneuvering. But did Russell Wilson, your favorite quarterback ever, agree with this decision? Here's Russell Wilson on his support for Hackett.
You know, in terms of, I believe in Coach Hackett. I believe in what we're doing. You know, and believe in everything.
Believes in everything.
Wait, what does that mean?
I think I want that as a
job.
You covered
him
forward.
For 2 years. So translate, I believe in everything.
Well, much like you have noticed with Bill O'Brien, how Bill O'Brien just lists things and
big
goes
lister.
On and on and on with all of these players saying what they did so that he doesn't actually have to tackle the root question. That's what Russell Wilson does as well. I think this is PR 101. If you can't think of anything to say that's going to be complimentary, just list a bunch of things. I believe in everything. That's a little concerning, right? I believe potentially in the theory that the earth is flat. I believe that we never made it to the moon. Like, that's the kind of stuff that you can hear when you're hearing someone say, I believe in everything. And you know he doesn't believe in everything. Like, I think that's why he said, I believe in everything. Because he's trying to just get away from having to attack.
He does not have a balance.
The bad decision.
He doesn't have a balance of keeping it real while still showing respect
oh,
the
he
public
has no
face.
Idea how
like
to.
He just has he has none of that.
He is the most politician player in the NFL. It's not close. In that, like I don't know
I
anything
used to
that
stand
he believes.
Up for him, man. I used to stand up for him, and then he got weird quickly.
Vanessa, I did too. I moved up to Seattle, and I'm like, why does everyone have questions about him?
Your friend Josh Ennis still doesn't understand it.
Yeah,
somebody familiar to Houstonians.
I'm sorry, like if you didn't get annoyed during the James Harden getting his way out of town saga, right. then I guess that's the only way that you could potentially be on Russell Wilson's side here. But he had it pretty good. Whined all the time about not having more input. And he leaves, and I mean, you're seeing all the same bad habits, too, from him in week one. Like, you try to run an offense, and Russell Wilson is not going to run that offense. Russell Wilson's going to do his own thing, which involves a lot of improvising. The problem is he's not as skilled as he used to be when it comes to eluding defenders to be able to do some of the things that he used to, where he can run around and do a figure eight in the backfield and then just basically, like, do a hook shot over his right shoulder and throw it downfield 67 yards. He's underthrowing Jerry Jeudy, by the way, who had a wide-open touchdown pass. Jeudy made a great play. Yeah. Anyway, I could go all day on Russell Wilson.
Yes, you could. We moved to the Steelers. T.J. Watt is out. It was thought to maybe be for the whole season. He walked off and said, I tore my pecs. It turns out it will be about 6 weeks, they're thinking, and he does not need surgery. He tweeted, I'll be back.
That's very good for Pittsburgh, because the only way that they're going to be in the playoff conversation at the end of the year is if their defense carries them. If you watched week one, you saw in Mitchell Trubisky not a whole lot of things to be excited about. I don't know if they're going to turn to Kenny Pickett at some point, but okay.
Man, I would love to see him, just to see the potential.
Yeah, I would too. But, I mean, think about this. Like, Pittsburgh had 7 sacks and 4 takeaways in this game. Check that. Was it 5? It was 5 takeaways in this game, and I mean, they still barely won. You know, it took a missed extra point for them to win. At least they'll have Najee Harris back for this week against the New England Patriots, so there's that. But they need T.J. Watt back. They need T.J. Watt to essentially do what J.J. Watt was doing
in 2015. I hate that the Watt brothers can't stay healthy.
Yeah, it sucks. I feel for them.
Andy Reid blamed loose turf in Arizona for the injuries that Trent McDuffie and Harrison Butker experienced.
Yeah, you know what?
We've heard this in Houston.
Yeah.
Now, this was about a decade ago, right?
Yes.
It was Jadeveon Clowney, and then who else?
2014. Jadeveon Clowney, first game of the season against the Washington, then Redskins.
Yeah.
He's rushing a quarterback, and he jumps, stands in the midst of 4 of the pallets of grass that are making up the Texans stadium at the time. They had pallet grass instead of just like a regular field turf. And after the game, I remember Will Grubb, who used to be a reporter at the flagship station, and I, we go into the locker room, and DJ Swearinger used to be, hey, Mr. Spill the Beans, like Kevin from The Office. He would give you every single piece of information, and he said, yeah, Clowney's leg got stuck in that little gap, which was interesting because there was a Texans punter named Brett Hartman who had also been suing the Texans because he felt like he suffered an injury that was caused by that pallet grass. I think D'Amico Ryans, when he came back here with the Philadelphia Eagles after being a Texans linebacker for such a long time, tore his ACL. He blamed that pallet turf grass, and then the Texans actually decided to change it up. The Cardinals, though, in this situation, instead of agreeing with Andy Reid, they're like, actually, we're fine. We've been rated one of the best stadiums in the NFL. This is one of those weird stadiums, Vanessa, where they have the field out, like, across the street.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I've never been.
They let the grass grow outside.
Okay.
And then they have it, like, on wheels, so it slides in during the game.
Okay.
So it's actually pretty cool. That said, and we saw this with the Vegas Raiders too. Sometimes when you bring this field in, like it's still not going to be in perfect shape. It's still not natural grass, you know. Like it's something that's probably growing, I would imagine, on like concrete or something like that.
I don't feel like Andy Reid throws things like this out there. Like time one of his guys gets injured, he blames somebody or something. So I believe him when he says this. It's something to keep an eye on because that is where the Super Bowl is this year.
The field at State Farm Stadium is routinely ranked among the best, if not the best, among NFL players, including its surveys conducted by the NFL Players Association. Like all fields, the surface at State Farm Stadium undergoes the NFL's required testing and certification process. They're trying to avoid
that. There you go. Coming up, we have our petty segment. Is this one of the worst trades? Is it even worse than a Bill O'Brien trade? Plus, we have some petty tweets and reactions from Russell Wilson. That's coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, no lie, this is my favorite segment in honor of one Thomas Earl Petty. But Paul and I are both pretty petty people. Sean, I'd put you in that category a little bit, although you're not quite as bad as Polly Jean.
I don't think Sean's bad. I don't even think you're bad. I think I'm the
okay,
the problem
I wasn't going to say it, but yeah, you're the worst.
I know I'm the worst on this front. It's a problem that I've tried to get over the course of my life.
No, it's what makes you who you are.
I hold grudges, and they're very random grudges that are very... very minor, and the funniest thing of
all... Very minor. Paul will be like, I won't go to this restaurant because I went on a date with the girl there, and then she never texted me back, and I blame it on the food, so I'll never eat that kind of food again.
I wouldn't quite go that far, but there is one restaurant in town that I won't go to because I've had four issues while their mandatory valet has messed with my car.
Oh, so, I'm Paul. I valet.
I actually don't park valet. See, petty. I don't do valet because of that one restaurant in Houston.
That's
I don't.
Perfect.
I refuse to do it.
I used to think I was petty, and then I worked with Paul.
Yeah. I'm the in-between here. So we start with something that I do think is a legit question, which is Jamal Adams. He had the serious knee injury. This is really sad, but it does always bring up Jamal Adams. Was that the worst trade? Was it worse than a Bill O'Brien trade?
It was bad.
Was it worse than the Hopkins trade?
Yeah. It's a good question. So here's what was given up for Jamal Adams. A safety who, as you all saw, is better at deflecting passes with his face mask than actually catching them. The Seahawks traded two first-round picks and a third-round pick to New York. I remember the day that this took place very well, because this was the day that I came back to my apartment to find the Starbucks underneath it absolutely destroyed, and how I ended up on Tucker Carlson 2 days later. Not kidding. Like, that was the same day. The Jamal Adams trade happened on that day. I remember my immediate reaction was, are you bleeping kidding me? He's a safety. Two first-round picks for a safety. The return that you got for DeAndre Hopkins was bad, especially when you realize that the second-round pick was Ross Blacklock.
Picked before Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, my God. It makes it even worse. And that you got David Johnson. The Adams trade is worse than the Hopkins trade. Here's the thing about the Hopkins trade that you can now spin zone yourself into believing. Would you feel comfortable having a wide receiver on this roster who I imagine would hate life at this point in time and try to be getting his way out of town, who has had injury issues, who is now suspended by the NFL for PED usage, and on top of that, just are you comfortable paying a wide receiver like $20-plus million dollars a year? I think some teams look at that and they realize, you know what? Probably not the smartest idea in the world to give a wide receiver like an eighth, a ninth of your salary cap.
There were plenty of petty tweets about Russell Wilson. Doug Baldwin Jr., Richard Sherman. Doug Baldwin Jr. did the gif of the cheerleader looking all sassy, like, how do you like me now? We saw Richard Sherman with some funny retweets. We saw Shelby Harris's interview with James Palmer. Plenty of pettiness surrounding Russell Wilson. If they lose to the Texans, not saying I think they will, if they were, would the pettiness be at an all-time high?
Oh, my God, yes. Yes. I mean, it would probably be the first time that that city up in the Pacific Northwest would ever feel true happiness, which is funny because they won a Super Bowl. This is who they are. They don't like to get slighted. When A-Rod left them way back in the day for the Texas Rangers, they felt the same way, even though the Rangers offered him an unbelievable amount of money. That's just kind of how they are. And yeah, they start off 0-2, and he thought he was going to be in a better situation in Denver than he was in Seattle. They should be petty. Absolutely.
Definitely. Ryan Fitzpatrick is somebody that is an NFL journeyman. He's on Thursday night broadcast. We'll see him tomorrow on Amazon. If you guys remember when Tom Brady was interviewed, was it on his documentary? It was on someone's podcast.
It was on The Shop.
That's right, that The Shop podcast.
That LeBron was too good to show up for that episode of The Shop.
Because he has to be the center of attention.
Can't be,
Tom Brady was asked about his journey picking the Bucks after it wasn't going to happen with the Patriots anymore. He said something along the lines of, you know, you're going to take that mother effer over me, talking about different teams and their quarterback choices. It's now thought, after reports, rumors, etc., that mother effer was Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick was asked about that. Here's Fitzmagic's response.
I think I still am that guy. But, you know, if you go back to that, again, that's before the 2019 season where the Dolphins are trying to, you know, assemble a roster that is going to help them get a better draft pick the next year. So it's not like that was going to be an attractive situation for Tom anyway. So I'm not sure what the you know, why he was so upset about it. But I still to this day believe that I am that mother.
Were you insulted by that, hurt by that, or you just sort of shrug your shoulders and say, well, he has been beating me in the division for about 18 years, so maybe I am that mother.
Yeah, I try to get my wife to make a few T-shirts.
Love it.
I think that it was Derek Carr still. I Fitzpatrick has sound logic there, and yeah, it did seem like that was pretty close to happening. I also think that Brady is not the biggest fan of Fitzpatrick because Fitzpatrick has beaten him before. So like, I don't think it's completely off the table, but I think John Gruden and his, I think, role in being the end-all be-all with the Vegas Raiders, stepping in the way of Brady over Derek Carr, that to me seems like something to be a lot more mad about. Because it sounds like the Dolphins were going to do it with Brady. It sounded like that the only thing that got in the way was that, yeah, obviously Brady was under contract.
But and we now know
Brian
for tampering.
Got in the way
with
too.
The tampering charge, we now know for a fact that that's what happened.
Flores didn't want to sign off on it. And credit to him, he's a man of integrity. I think that John Gruden being the arrogant, for no reason, coach that he is, stepping in the way of Brady to Vegas because he wanted to have essentially his fingerprints all over the fact that Carr could be good with him, that is a lot more probable than it being Ryan Fitzpatrick standing in the way of Brady in Miami.
I also think it's so funny comparing how Ryan Fitzpatrick handles this versus how Derek Carr handles this, where Derek Carr's like, well, I don't know. That's for you to decide. Ryan Fitzpatrick wants to believe that it's
him. He does.
Like, he's like, it'd be an honor to be that mother effer.
I mean, wouldn't you want to be that mother effer? Wouldn't you like Tom Brady to randomly have a grudge against you?
Especially
to be
from
petty?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. I mean, shoot. It's a random rivalry, obviously. Like, the greatest quarterback of all time and the guy who's played on the most teams ever as a starting quarterback. But, you know,
well,
things happen.
He did start for every team in the AL East. The AFC East, except for the Patriots.
There you go. All right. Mike McCarthy, according to Jane Slater of NFL Network, said everyone feels good about Dak's surgery. Doctor was optimistic. 8 to 10 days of recovery. He'll be in the building, but they're not rushing him back there out to practice. This is very different from what we heard as owner Jerry Jones broke the news of the injury and said that it was going to be significant. Do you think Cowboys fans feel petty towards Jerry Jones?
Well, I was texting one of them yesterday, and they had very strong words about Jerry Jones' involvement. And in case you missed it, this was Jerry Jones yesterday on KRLD, the Cowboys flagship station. We're essentially, he's like, yeah, we're not going to put Dak Prescott on the injured reserve. Here is Jerry.
Dak's injury certainly has taken center front and is a little bit of a red herring relative, if you want to use that term, relative to focusing on the way we played.
He's like minimizing Dak's injury.
He needs to not talk about injury. And I say that even though he's the owner, that is a head coach or a GM's job. Better yet, maybe you put the team doctor out there. I don't know. But this is not the first time that Jerry has missed on an injury. And it's like there's too much convoluted information.
Yes, 100%.
All right, let's talk about the queen as we finish out our petty segment. Listen, RIP to a literal queen. Most people say a queen, but she's literally the queen, 96 years old. I can't take it anymore. I'm still seeing tweets. I'm still seeing honors. I'm still seeing moments of silence.
The news is covering every single, I guess, remembrance ceremony that she's having. I've just stayed away from it. I don't want to see it. I'm already mad that they cut in on the Sunday Night Football broadcast.
Yeah, that was bad.
Tomorrow on NBC. It's like, it's September 11th. Let's, how about have a little bit of America reflection. And instead, they're like, we'll have live coverage of the day before the pre-party to the Queen's funeral.
Yeah, I don't understand. And again, all due respect to her. In England, absolutely.
I don't understand
She's
it here.
She's the queen. Here, I don't get it. It's like middle-aged women that love Princess Diana. I at least get that because, you know, she hugged people that had HIV before that was, you know, thought of to be safe. She seemed like a people's person. She seemed relatable.
Not Irish
I get
people.
Diana, rest in peace. The queen, people being so obsessed with the queen. Weird.
I don't get it. I'm Irish-American, Scottish-American, French-Canadian-American, and the English crown, what she in that role symbolizes is oppression and colonialism, which America's so bad about. The original colonists were the Limeys. And when you hear like all the tributes, I think of instead a viral chant that took place at an Irish soccer game about Queen Elizabeth. They had a different spin on her funeral, if
okay.
you will.
Even if you like her, she isn't the queen over here. I just don't understand. That, ladies and gentlemen, was our petty segment. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we do have some breaking news regarding the Astros that you're going to want to hear, plus a look ahead to Texans Broncos. That's next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!